Okay. Now, be prepared to be amazed, befused, and befuddled. Being informed and misaligned. There's many things could happen here. And during the course of the next hour, we'll probably find out what they all are. So,
at least one of each.
Yeah. Fish and Frank here. Robert, of course, in the chair across from me. In our new, semi-new studios here in downtown Charlotte Harbor, in a secret undisclosed location at the back of the bait shop in my office. I mean, what else do you say about it? Because, you know, that's where we are, so.
Right. Kind of funny. But it works.
Yeah, I'm super excited. We got Doug and Mary coming Tuesday and Wednesdays. Robert's fishing report, of course, at the State of the Fish address, Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock. And we're going to be doing that this Tuesday. And then Doug and Mary will be there. And we got Joe, the hot dog guy, and his wife. They're going to be serving some breakfast sandwiches and stuff like that. So, all in all, not too bad.
Yeah, it should be a good time.
Let's see. We got the Peace River system. I have not heard of a thing on the Peace River.
Not at all.
All right.
It's been super quiet.
I-75.
Same thing. Unfortunately.
Yeah. 41 bridge.
Yeah, it's quiet, but it's at least a few reports. They've been catching a couple of redfish off that new park on the north end there last 2 days. And
I'd like to get permission to put, like, build some fish habitats to drop underneath that dock and out between a couple of the pilings.
Right. That would be pretty nice.
Wouldn't take much. A little bit of crab trap wire, some PVC, and some steel, and boom, drop it right down in there.
Right. Wouldn't be much.
And that would do a lot to get fish in that area, you know,
yeah,
and out around those power lines, if we could drop a few fish havens right around that.
Right. Well, that would be actually a really good idea.
All right.
Good luck.
Some redfish on the north end.
And then there's also been some snook being caught on the south end and the north end, mainly at night. And then the couple guys fishing in their boats have started to pick up a few black drum. A few black drum from assorted sizes, from like 15 inches up to about 10, 15 pounds. Haven't heard of any really big black drum, but the smaller size, which are better for eating if you want some food. And then the couple of small trout between the bridges and the power lines. And they were nothing real fancy, but they caught at least a few trout.
Yeah. I don't know, it just makes me nuts that, in my opinion, FWC has lost its mind. They're catering to pressure from groups like the CCA. Don't ever donate to the CCA. And captains' organizations and stuff like that. They're just catering to this percentage of the population, and it's going right into PETA's hands, the Audubon Society, all these Greenpeace people with, you know, and eventually it's going to lead to, they're going to make laws against where you're not allowed to fish.
Right.
Because the more they keep doing this stuff, the closer we are to being shut down.
It's kind of goofy how they got it all figured out, or lack thereof.
They don't have anything figured out except what they think is politically correct.
Right.
And I am not politically correct. I do not like socialists. I mean, I have been in countries, watched the money go no good, where you go into a country and you're there 1 year and it's 15 of their dollars to buy a sandwich, and you go back 2 years later and it's $140,000
right,
to buy a sandwich. And people don't realize that paper dollar in your hand is literally only worth the paper it's printed on. And how much paper do you throw away a day? It's all about, can somebody back it up? And that's what socialism does. Destroys. And yes, we have socialist tendencies in this country. We have Social Security, which is not a frickin' entitlement. You pay your whole life into it. It's an entitlement for people who are on it you know, because they have this or that or the next thing. But when you, if you've worked your whole life, for me, it'll be 66 and a half years before I can collect. I'll have paid in tens of thousands of dollars to Social Security, and I'm never even going to get part of that back. But so, like I say, part of the reason I'm such an angry, and I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat, I'm an independent, but I get so upset with these people because most of the time it's just two sides of the same bad coin. So, and I don't see a good side coming out of Tallahassee right now.
No.
So, no, I don't like you. In my personal opinion, I think you're morons. Lashley Pier.
There's been a few snook there in the evenings. There's been a couple of small mangrove snapper, a couple of small black drum. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side. And this weekend would not be a good weekend to go down there because of the festivals that are going on between...
Man, it's crowded in Blackwater.
Holy mackerel. Yeah,
I would pretty much avoid the area.
Unless you want to go down to there to the crafts and seafoods and all the other festival things that are going on, it's worth it for that. But you just want to go down there and have a relaxing time? Not the spot. No mental therapy to be found there.
No. I would probably head over to Bayshore Pier.
Yep, definitely.
Right. Hopefully there's some fish there.
We've had a couple sharks. One guy got a cobia that was 34 and a half inches. He got a couple of whiting, which is what he caught the cobia on, was one of the whiting. The guys have been catching a couple of small snook late at night down there. And let's see the shark.
What was the last one?
A couple of snook at night, late at night. They said that there's been bait coming through, like mullet and small bait fish, but they said nothing's really been chasing any of that or hitting any of it.
Really weird, isn't it?
It is. I'll have to talk about it later here as we get down to the southern part of the report, but talking to a guy earlier.
Port Charlotte canals?
Man, that's been really quiet. The only thing that guys have been doing, honestly, guys that are trolling in and out are catching jacks and snook. And not big jacks, but like 3 to 5 pounders, just fun size. The beach complex is one report that I did get. Couple of redfish, one pompano, couple of snook at night. You know, other than that, it's been strange. All these people, I mean, it's been so beautiful. I think what's happened is a lot of people that were able to get out in their boats went out in their boats and didn't stay in the canals.
What did you say about Port Charlotte Beach?
A couple of reds, a couple of snook, and a couple of pompano.
Okay.
You know, so it's decent, but just everyone I talked to, a couple guys I saw coming in from their boat rides, I talked to a couple of them. They said, we ran all the way down to Bull and Turtle. We didn't even fish up here or so. And they said they haven't been fishing in their backyards at all.
You know, that's a statement I never, ever understand. People go, oh, I'm only going in my backyard. I'm just going to fish off my dock. You know, I'm like, you don't get it. Probably 80% of the population of the U.S. can go to a pier and fish.
Right.
I would say 20-30% of the population come down and go out in a boat.
Right.
What would be the percentage? How small would it be to be able to walk out behind their house and cast a line in?
Very small percentage.
It's like 0.25%?
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And it is like the most exclusive club, coolest place in the world is if you can walk out behind your house and fish.
Right.
I literally am just amazed when people say, oh, I just walk around, I'm only fishing behind the house on the dock. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah. No, I feel very, very, very blessed.
Yeah, I mean,
to walk out there.
I would love to live where you live, you know?
Walk out there, whether I catch.
I'm not certain that, you know, I'm in the will. If I knew I was getting that house, you might have to wonder a little bit.
Have somebody test my drinks for me.
Yeah, you might want to get a drink test.
Does that taste like almonds to you? It's such a nice, it's just lucky, you know. I don't care if I catch anything. I watch her fish just to be able to sit out there and have a pole in my hand if I want. It's just pretty darn lucky.
All right, Elgin Pier.
Let's see, we got some sheep's head have been going on there. They're getting fewer, but they're still pretty decent, like 15, 16, even a couple 17 inchers. Once again, some baby black, you know, small black drum, like under 10 pounds. There has been a few juvenile tarpon rolling around there in the early morning, and even a couple guys jumped a couple at night while out there snook fishing. And they're like the 10 to 20 pound tarpon. They're not juveniles or sub-adults. They're just babies, but still fun. And the snook have been really quiet, according to the one guy. He said they haven't been doing much out there.
Yeah, I put it was okay.
Yeah.
Myakka River area.
Let's see, they're getting a few redfish up there from Eljobean up to the 41 Bridge. And then also down in Tippecanoe in the north end of the Myakka Cutoff. There's been a handful of bigger snook also down there in the north end of the cutoff. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet throughout the main part.
I said double check, make sure I was writing bigger.
Right.
God, it still makes me mad.
I don't blame you.
Racist bunch of idiots out there. You know, the only place I've seen racism in years on CNN.
Yeah.
Literally, I look around, I go to gas stations. Every mix of everybody. I see people on job sites. There's everything of everybody. Watching TV, it's everything. The only place where I really see racism is on the news. It's the only place I really notice it.
Yeah. Pretty sad.
Yeah. I don't understand. You know, if people are out there looking around and they're seeing everybody having fun with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You come in here, you've got literally every race, creed, color imaginable, every age.
Every financial situation.
Economic. That's the only thing I would say I see a bit of is economic racism. I don't know, classism.
Yeah.
You know, outside of the store in here, I've watched millionaires talk to guys who can't afford a dozen shrimp. But once you're out in the real world, that's the only thing I really see that's still a big thing in this country. Otherwise, I don't think anybody really cares who you are, what you do. All they care about is, are you doing your job?
Right.
You know, are you, you know, do you do your job? Do you, you know,
that's it. Do you do your job and do you do your job well?
Yeah, that's really the criteria behind 99.9% of the people I've met. There's obviously weirdos, but South Gulf Cove canals.
They've been catching tilapia, some Mayan cichlids, and then a couple of guys have been buying shiners and actually came in, finally gave me a report. They've been getting some bass back way back closer to Placida Road. And the bass are running like 2 to 4 pounds. They said they haven't caught any really big ones, but they said they're at least catching some nice bass and having a good time. One guy did jump a tarpon. He said it shocked him. He forgot that they were in there because it's been so long since he's had a discussion about them, but he said he put a little tarpon in the air and it flipped him out.
Isn't that always fun? Because I think it's even more freaky when you're bass fishing. Because uh-huh. You're out in salt water. And, I mean, I've been on the flats, and we're catching redfish, and all of a sudden a four-foot-plus tarpon comes out of the water, and you're like, wow, isn't that cool? But when I'm bass fishing and I've hooked a tarpon, literally my mind is so far away from that.
Yep.
I'm not even close. I mean, I'm literally a million miles away from thinking tarpon. And, you know, I might as well be sitting on a lake in Indiana for where my brain is. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I've only had the pleasure of doing that once. So, but it's definitely, it is, you're focused on fresh water, you got nothing else on your mind other than whatever trivial things you're thinking about, but you're focused fresh water. You switch that switch off from saltwater things to freshwater things, so you're evaluating all those things you're doing, and then,
and
what?
If you're listening to us up north or in another country, thank you very much. We love you. Hopefully you can visit Florida or move here. But as we say, if you're moving here from up north, love to have you. Really welcome you as a neighbor, but don't vote for the same kind of idiot who ruined the state you just used to love. But when you're down here, you can have tarpon or snook in a pond a lake, a river, different canal systems. And there's a lot of different ways to get there. Now, if you're up north, the one thing that you usually think about is ducks, geese, you know, things like that, moving fish eggs from one place to another. Well, we have, what, a dozen, two dozen wading birds here?
Oh, probably more than that.
Maybe more than that, including ducks and geese and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That move eggs back and forth around. So it's possible the eggs got moved. But we also have things like ospreys, which grab giant fish and think they can fly off with them. And they get this fish, and they're going along through the air, and all of a sudden the fish just wiggles loose. They can't hold them, and every once in a while they fall in a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably a dozen other reasons that would put a tarpon or a snook. And saltwater fish live very well in most Florida ponds, lakes, creeks, and rivers because of the high mineral content.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that the saltwater fish don't really have to be in saltwater to survive. If you've got a certain level of minerals and stuff, including a little bit of salt, because let's face it, the sand, all the sand here has salt in it because mm-hmm. it was underwater for millions of years. So it's, when we're talking about you're catching bass and all of a sudden hooking a tarpon, this is literally possible almost anywhere. One of the biggest redfish I've ever seen in my life came out of a pond in Punta Gorda.
Wow.
So, and I've seen some big redfish. So, you know, you just never know when you're throwing a line in Florida what you're possibly going to hit. We've got carp that are 4 or 5 foot long down here.
Right.
All right, the West Wall, creeks.
Well, that's actually taken a little bit of quietness this week, but they are still catching some redfish and snook down in the very southern end. And they've skipped a few pompano with guys that have been running along on the inside of the trough. And then one guy got a cobia on the outside of the bar. He was getting ready to cross and saw some manatees and decided to check them out and saw a cobia swimming around. So he pitched at it and got it to hit. He said it's the first time he's ever gotten a sight cast any saltwater fish, so he was pretty ecstatic.
Man, the new people.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we've got a ton of tourists down here, and thank you all very much for visiting Florida. We love you. Got a lot of newbies moving into the area. Mm-hmm. Today, I know I talked to at least 3 groups that it was the first time they were ever in this store.
Mm-hmm.
And had one guy in from southern Indiana, and him and his son, and I think their wives were all there, and you know, they were talking about bass fishing in Indiana, and I showed him Mark Nichols' snake. I said, well, this is something that I don't think you've ever seen up there. It's DOA freshwater lures, and I showed him that, and then I showed him the Weston frogs. And they were nice. Like freaked out. I actually bought a bag of the DOA snakes.
Nice. Because
it's a very cool.
It is.
They've got a lake up there that just has thousands of snakes around the outside of the lake because it's all kind of riprap.
Okay.
And between the riprap and the grass and all that. So, you know, when you get sun beating on those rocks, and then they got the water and everything right there, that's prime snake habitat.
Yeah.
So they said they had thousands of snakes there. They were pretty excited to take it up and try it.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
All right. Cape Hayes?
Cape Hayes has had a few pompano on it, a couple of Spanish mackerel, a couple of bluefish, and then there's also been a handful of trout on it, but the trout have been kind of scattered and very small.
Okay.
And then the shoreline right there has had some snook moving through there pretty regularly. And if you go up inside Muddy Bay, that's been really good for some redfish and snook, but they're scattered throughout the whole thing. Most people like to go in and go just to the right, but several customers have been fishing the perimeter and then drifting through the center and picking up redfish and snook.
Okay.
That's been pretty decent. I've had like 4 different reports from guys going up inside there and having a good time. Only one guy said he did terrible, but he did the same thing. He just went in, went to the right, fished that little trough, and then turned around and went back out.
Yeah, it's funny. I started talking about that trough years ago, and I've never been able to get into it yet. Ever since before I started talking about it, I could swing in there, you know, hit a couple redfish or a snook, no big deal. And then I've been talking about it, and I have to wait to get there. I haven't actually been able to get in there to get fish. I got to go on past.
Yep.
So, Capes, Danger Reef?
A couple of Spanish mackerel is all I heard about. Oh, wait a minute. One shark. One guy had caught a, I'm guessing it was a black tip. He wasn't even sure, and his picture was very, very, very fuzzy.
Yeah. I begin to see why we don't have pictures of aliens and spaceships. We look at fish pictures here all the time. And with, you would think these cameras nowadays take amazing pictures.
Yeah.
But not really.
Right.
You got to have the person be able to stand there and think, okay, how do I want this to look? And side, front, back, you know, if you're trying to get an identification, not just kind of a, you know, a little quick clip down the side or something, you know. So I understand why E.T. is not in on a camera yet. So.
Yeah.
All right, Gasparilla Sound.
That whole area is doing probably one of the best. Snook, redfish, all on the shorelines and around some of those small barrier island or little islands right there. And then there's been a ton of sheep's head. The sheep's head are all along the mangroves. And then some out there on the in some of those deeper sand holes and a couple oyster patches. And if you run to the other side, the backside of Boca Grande, there's a bunch of small trout and quite a few snook and redfish along that whole shoreline along the backside, basically from 19th Street where the kayak launch is at, working your way north towards Uncle Henry's Marina.
Now, what was that you're talking about?
Snook and redfish. Okay. And then a lot of small trout out there on the open part of the flats. The guy was telling me, he said he's just never seen the water so clear out there. He's been out there for 3 years fishing it, and he was just ranting about how beautiful it is the last couple times he's been out there.
All right, Placida, Gasparilla?
Just sheep's head. Sheep's head have been the primary thing. A couple guys have caught a couple small Spanish mackerel, but other than that, it's just sheep's head.
Lemon Bay.
Pompano. That's the only report I've gotten is some pompano up there, basically from the ski alley all the way up towards the bridge. A couple guys did fairly well on them. They said they caught a couple tiny incidental trout, but they said other than that, it's been very slow.
Okay. Anglewood Pier, Tom Adams Bridge.
Just the Tom Adams Bridge is what I got. A couple of sheep's head in the middle span of the bridge and two pompano. For as many people have been going up there fishing, I just haven't had anything for a report off the actual pier.
Okay. Venice.
Spanish mackerel. Spanish mackerel been doing well off the jetties along with a lot of sheep's head. A couple of pompano there and a couple of small whiting, and then down there at Casperson's Beach, pompano. Guys have been catching pompano with some fairly regularly down there. They said some of the shark fishermen have moved in around the area, so it's been a little bit tougher to fish. But
remind me when we get walking the beaches to mention the Casperson's. Okay. Reefs and Wrecks, Gulf of Mexico.
Incredible. I mean, we've had such beautiful weather. Actually, I think incredible is a little bold, but beautiful weather for going out there.
All right, ever since the Weather Channel went political, I can't watch it anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm tired of being lectured on that we're going to die in 12 years and, you know, all that. I mean, I used to watch the Weather Channel every morning. I can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
You heard what's going to happen next week?
Weather-wise?
Yeah.
It's supposed to get cold next weekend.
I mean, like Monday, Tuesday,
beautiful.
Wednesday.
It's supposed to be beautiful. Wind's supposed to start laying down tomorrow and be up into the low to mid-80s Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Because I got to take Doug and Mary out. We're going to do a little fishing and some sightseeing and stuff.
Monday and Tuesday are supposed to be your two best days, and then Wednesday it's questionable with that front that's going to start moving down.
But I only got Monday, so,
well,
you know.
Your timing's going to be perfect for it.
Yeah, hopefully the boat runs. Okay, really good in the Gulf of Mexico. What are we talking about?
90 to 110 feet is where the red grouper are at, along with some AJ's catch and release, and then there's been a couple of king mackerel out there. And then if you move into about 12 to 15 miles out, there's the mangrove snapper bite.
How far out were the AJ's in the...
90 to 110, so...
Same area?
That? Yeah.
Okay. And then what?
12 to 15 miles is where the mangs have been. They've been starting to get some good reports on mangroves up to like 3 pounds again. And the lanes are doing decent, but not great. Just good, I would say, along with some porgies and some grunts. The Spanish mackerel are out there with some bonita. A couple of kings were seen free jumping, but nobody caught any. And then there's a whole lot of sharks out there. Guys are getting sharks from 100 yards off the beach to 15 miles. There has been one shrimp boat out there.
What was there from 100 yards off the beach?
Sharks.
Sharks.
Yeah. From 100 yards to 15 miles out, just sandbar sharks, a couple of hammerheads, black tips and spinner sharks. And I guess there's one shrimp boat that's been out there just outside of, basically between Boca and Gasparilla Pass. And it's had some sharks around it and some bonita and a whole lot of Spanish first thing in the morning.
And the bonita aren't that far out either.
No. I mean, that shrimp boat's staying anchored out there just inside the 9 mile line. And he's got bonita around it in the mornings. So, pretty interesting. And there is a lot of barracuda on just about every wreck that you stop at out there, from what I'm hearing from everybody. Quite a few people trying to figure out how to catch them, though. They're trolling Cuda tubes or casting beat-up old lures to try to get them to hit them. You know, they're seeing them, but they just aren't hooking very many.
It's weird. They can be the easiest fish to catch and one of the more difficult ones.
Yep.
All right, Casper.
They almost remind me of a cobia. You know, they swim up to the boat, hang out. Maybe they'll eat, maybe they won't. Very seldom is there an in-between. So Casperson's Beach, got the pompano. The guys are catching the pompano there. They were catching whiting, but they said the shark fishermen have started moving in for the beach fishing for sharks. So it's been a little bit congested down there to fish.
Any place else walking the beaches?
Down towards Stump Pass Park. They've been getting some Spanish mackerel moving in close. Jacks have been right inside the channel itself. And a guy caught a couple snook and a couple small redfish there the other late afternoon, evening, he said. And I don't remember if he said he was on the beach side or the back side.
Okay. Anywhere else from land?
Nope. That's about it.
All right. Boca Grande Pass, anything?
Yeah, the Spanish mackerel are scattered throughout that whole thing. Both sides, I mean, pretty much everywhere, there's just Spanish mackerel throughout the whole thing. Ladyfish, a couple of bluefish mixed in with them. And then the guys that are fishing out there deeper out towards the channel marker said they actually got into a few pompano in 20, 25 feet of water fishing that drop-off edge.
All right, Captiva?
Captiva, the only thing I've gotten down there was some Spanish mackerel. Been pretty quiet otherwise.
Okay. All right. Let's see, Sanibel?
Got nothing.
Okay, Matt Lachey?
Matt Lachey's been quiet, but some sheep's head. That's about all I've gotten a report on them. That was my one good report, unfortunately.
Okay, Pine Island Sound.
Let's see. All the bushes down there are holding some nice redfish and a few really nice snook. And the here's what I was saying earlier. Good thing I remembered. Pinfish and shrimp are the two main things they're feeding on. The guys are catching them on pinfish with their tails clipped. But he also started to take the dead ones and was cutting them up and throwing them out, trying for some of the redfish that were being a little fussy, and started catching the same snook. Like, he caught several snook up to 15 pounds, and two of those came on cut-up pinfish. Been doing pretty good down there on them. He said it's been a really good fishery. And he said that was yesterday when he went out there. In 2 feet of water, he was getting those snook on cut pinfish. He said they got out of the wind, sat down there, and just started playing around some of the little different cuts and mangroves, blind casting, and did really good. He had some snook that he was holding. I mean, they were
mid-30s,
yeah.
Yeah, it's literally amazing to me how people think that you have to have live bait fish to catch a snook.
He said they threw out some white bait and none of it got touched. Pinfish, no problem. Cut and live. White bait, nothing.
It's staggering to me. I have caught so many snook on dead sardines, you know, cut up pinfish, chunks of mullet. You know, I mean, the biggest snook I've ever seen were all caught on dead bait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just boggles my mind how myth and legend and rumors are facts nowadays.
Right.
And even if you tell people the truth, they accuse you of lying to them.
Even if you show them a video, they still question you.
Yeah. Oh, that's not real. You just put that chunk of bait on there.
Right.
Are you out of your freaking mind?
Right.
We're talking about fishing. Why, you know, cut bait, I don't make the money on that I do on some of the live bait. Why right. would we lie about that if we're going to make less money? You know, yep. And a guy in here earlier says, oh, I hear there's a bunch of mackerel and I'm going to go out and do a little trolling for him. And he had a $8 spoon, a $7 spoon. I said, oh, no, bud. Yeah. Here, these are, you know, not even $3. This is a mackerel spoon. The cheaper you can buy it, the better that spoon is for mackerel.
Absolutely.
I said, unless you got a lot of money you want to, you know, throw away, unless you're some, you know, billionaire who can just throw money left and right around the world. I mean, I don't throw, if it's $3, it's almost too much for me to throw up mackerel.
Yeah, that's true. I'm the same exact way with them. It's crazy. You know, but some guys have to have them.
Well, I hope that doesn't kill both of us. Oh, man, my stomach's been killing me lately.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't usually have in-the-seat explosions like that. But, you know, if all of a sudden Robert starts gagging, there's a pause in the recording area. Yeah, it was me. Okay. So, Jug Creek, Boquilla?
Boquilla's got some sheep's head still being cut off the pier down there. They're still doing pretty consistent on them. They said that the numbers are starting to thin out a little bit, but they are still getting some size to them. And they did catch a couple of Spanish mackerel off of it, too, the other day. So it's not bad. It's been a little windy out there yesterday. The guy said he tried to go out there, but he said it was just too brisk. He said it was a nice walk to the end of the pier, but he was glad he left all of his stuff in the car to evaluate it, because he walked to the end of the pier and said, yeah, that's what I thought, and turned around and went back. He was pretty funny. But he came back in and bought another bag of frozen shrimp because he's planning on going back out there tomorrow.
Isn't it amazing how people finding out that you can actually catch fish in frozen shrimp?
Mm-hmm.
That dead bait actually works?
Yeah.
Because if I'm doing sheephead, I'm either ripping the live shrimp in half, or preferably I buy a bag of frozen because it's a lot less money. You know, I'm getting 4 dozen on the average. It could be a little over 3. It could be 5 dozen, depending. You peel the shell off, put that soft meat over the tail, over the hook, just thread it on. Don't stick it on. You must thread it on the hook, starting at the skinny end, and thread the hook so the point and the big part of the meat are on the same end. But you catch so many fish with it. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And I've caught as many redfish on dead shrimp as I have on live shrimp, if not more.
Yeah.
You know, but, oh no, that can't be true. Really?
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
You know, it's just funny. When you listen to Robert and I do this thing, we are right more often than the people who do the weather, which get paid a lot more money than us. We're right more often than any of the political polling that's done in this country, and they make a lot more money than us.
And they have computer assistants.
And we listen. Now, admittedly, we have 100 to 400 people a day coming through the store that we talk to, so we get a very broad range of stuff. But we try to be, you know, if we really don't know about the area, that's what the question marks are for, because we just, you know, okay, we didn't have no report for you. But when we talk about stuff, we try and give you a realistic idea of what you're going to be up against. Because if you're, even if you're from this area and you're still learning it, there's a lot of area, and that's what this website is for, is for you to be able to speak a lot of the same language as us. I got pages I'm working on I haven't got done yet that I'm trying to get up on rigging shrimp and doing this and doing that, but we're shorthanded at the store. We've been real busy. What I thought was going to be an 6 to 8 week remodel turned into a year. You know, my house is a mess. I mean, God, my yard is a wreck. You know, I'm embarrassed that I live there because I spent over a year working in here.
Right.
Every day. So.
Well, and a prime example of the fishing part of it, you know, we tell people about these places, and here's my own personal aspect. I try to give the honest reports about where they're catching them and how they're doing. And this is probably 2 years ago. I sent a gentleman out to an area where they were catching some redfish. Him and his wife caught all these redfish and had one of their best days ever. And these redfish had been there for like 5 or 6 days in a row. I happened to coincidentally be going out with a friend that day after that guy tells me how great he did. I go out there and goose egg. Nothing. Didn't even see any activity there. Him and his wife go back out the next day. They caught half the amount of fish, but they still caught redfish again. And just sometimes it just doesn't work.
Sometimes it's slot machine fishing. Mm-hmm. You know, you put a quarter in a slot machine. You know, let's say you play $6 worth of quarters. And you get up to leave and somebody sits down and puts a quarter in and wins $1,000. You know, sometimes you just got to have a little luck to go along with everything else.
Yeah.
You know, and you just don't know.
Yeah.
People forget luck's a big issue.
It is.
You and the fish both have to be there with the same idea. You want to catch them, they want to eat. If you show up and the fish don't want to eat, doesn't matter how many fish are there. If the fish are all hungry and you're not there, same result.
Right.
All right, Burnt Store, 2 pints.
A lot of little snook and redfish all on that whole shoreline. And guys are mostly catching them on shrimp and pinfish. You know, they're going out and catching some white bait while they're catching their pinfish. White bait's being completely ignored. But a guy went out there, he went and caught white bait with a few pinfish, put a pinfish on, caught his snook, dug around, found another pinfish, caught a small redfish, said, okay. Dumped his white bait out and went back out and started chumming to get more pinfish. He's like, I had to go back to the other spot. Said, okay, white bait's going. Now I got to concentrate catching pinfish because they aren't hitting the white bait.
And there will be a time when white bait will catch way more fish than anything else. The hard part, I think, especially when you see these, you know, you see a video clip of this or that or the next thing, and you, oh my God, this is the greatest fishing ever. But it is when it is, and when it's not, it's not. The guys who catch the most fish are the ones who change the bait they're using for what the fish want to eat.
Yep.
Not, oh, this is, you know, white bait's the best bait I've ever used, or shrimp's the best bait I've ever used. If for that day or that hour, it was. But the next time or the next day or the next hour, it might not be.
Mm-hmm.
I literally was fishing before Hurricane Charlie destroyed Crabtrap Island and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting there fishing, and we were catching everything on freeline whitebait. I mean, we were catching a lot of fish. Stupid little cloud goes over, and it was nothing. And I mean, it literally rained for less than a minute. And nothing would bite. Shrimp under a popping cork? start catching every fish in the world again. I just had to play around with it, figure out what the heck was going on. But you literally don't. And that was just because a cloud went over and it rained for less. I mean, 45 seconds it rained. And they wouldn't touch a whitebait after that. Before that, that's all they eat. And then a shrimp under a popping cork and boom, the bite was back on. I don't get it.
Nope.
But I think the secret to it is try not to get it.
Yeah.
Try not to think this is the best way to go. I was telling a guy in here today.
This is the definitive answer right here. Nope.
If you're fishing and the other person is fishing, if one of you's on a bobber and one of you's fishing with a double drop or a bottom rig or a freeline or something like that, you've got twice the chances of catching fish.
Yeah.
Because you're in two different types of species. The mackerel, the trout, the ladyfish, jacks all hit better when the bait's suspended below a bobber. But the mangrove snappers, the black drum, the redfish, many of these other ones don't hit as well from a float.
Right.
But now the redfish will definitely eat bait suspended from a bobber, and mackerel will definitely eat something off the bottom. But as a general rule, so as a guideline goes to speak, the more ways you're rigged up, the more likely you are to catch fish.
Yeah.
And what do you care how you rigged? I really don't get that. I got to use this type of rod and reel. I got to do this or go to do that because that's what I do. And that's why you don't catch as many fish as I do.
Right.
And that's the truth of it.
Not going to experiment.
If you're use what the fish want. What do I care if I'm using a bait cast rod, a spinning rod, a jig, a piece of cut bait, whatever. If you're going to catch fish, do what the fish want.
Right.
All right. East side.
That's been quiet. I have not had much for reports this week. I don't know if you did, but...
No, I haven't got
nothing.
It's
been quiet.
Okay, question mark?
I got nothing, really.
Alligator Creek.
The mouth Alligator Creek's actually had a few pompano in the last couple of days. I had a guy come in and bite, 15 pompano jigs? he was having a field day over there. And then there's been some jacks up inside Alligator Creek, along with a few snook. But overall, the other species have been a little on the quiet side. Somebody was saying they're still doing that cut through over there and working on that. So there's been days where there's a little bit of silt coming down.
Yeah, and that can really hurt or even help the fishing. You just don't know. And that's the weird part about it. People say, they're digging there and it's chasing off all the fish. Maybe.
Maybe today.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
That
disturbs a whole lot of critters.
Because you've got some fish that literally go up right where the guys are working because they're digging up stuff and they're finding food. So, I've been running a jet and, jetting holes in the bottom and sand and everything's blowing everywhere. And, man, you look around the boat, there's 30 snook lined up there because I've been... chasing up crabs and sand critters and stuff like that, and they're just there for the food. And then other times you start and fish just all take off.
Yep.
Don't know what's going on with that.
Friend did that down in the Keys. He was down there to collect a couple of little snails and some starfish for his saltwater tank, which he goes down about every 5 years to collect a few. He's got his little permit to collect them for his own personal stuff. He's out there wading along with his little dip net, leaving that smoke cloud behind him that they typically do in that white sand down in the Keys. He said the first time ever he turned around and he's got four bonefish tailing like 50 feet behind him.
Yeah.
He's seen bonefish down there before, but he's never had them do that. But he turned around and he's got four of them in his silt line with their tails grubbing around. And he's like, really? I don't have a fishing pole. I've got a little dip net scooping up snails and here I am, no fishing pole. Laughing pretty good at that.
If you had a fishing pole and you were at Ponce de Leon Park, what would you expect to catch?
Been some jacks coming through there fairly regularly. Some small mangrove snapper, been a couple of black drum. And, of course, the snooker sitting right down there underneath the dock staring at everybody. Nobody's caught any, which, kind of frustrating some days when you're looking at a 30-inch snook that just kind of sits there and watches you. But the jacks have been the excitement for some of the guys. They've been getting them up to like 10, 12 pounds off of that dock.
Yeah.
Nice
fish going by there.
Yeah.
PGI canals.
And Carl had a good term for them the other day. What do you, because this will apply for right now. Canal tuna. Canal tuna. I'm like, that's actually kind of perfect. I mean, I've only caught blackfin tuna, but everything I read and know about tuna fishing, they're just powerhouses. So that's kind of a cool little term. But the big jacks are unbelievable inside PGI, up to 15, 20 pounds. There's a lot in there in that 10-pound range, but guys are trolling through along the Rim Canal and through Bass Inlet, Colony Point. Doesn't seem to really matter. And picking them up that way, and then other guys are going in there chumming a little bit with some of the white bait that they're finding. And other than that, they're just putting shrimp under a bobber, half of them, and doing really well. The snook have been okay. They haven't been really setting the world on fire on them. And then there's been some assorted black drum from small little guys of 10 pounds up to, like, you know, 30 pounds. I haven't heard of a lot of big black drum, but a few. Mm-hmm. More seen than caught.
Gilcrest spear?
Crickets. Nothing.
Okay. Alligator Creek Reef?
Guy caught two Spanish mackerel the other day. It was a... Actually, we did the report on Saturday, so he was in here Saturday afternoon, but he heard the morning report on the radio, and when I talked to him Monday, was it Monday? It's either Saturday afternoon or Monday, or no, Tuesday, he came in and telling me, well, I was out there that same day that you guys had posted up about all the Spanish mackerel out there, but I only caught two. I'm like, yeah, but we talked about them all down south. Not an Alligator Creek Reef yet. They just showed up out there. So he caught two, but another gentleman the other day said he got six trolling around real slow, and they were nicer fish, like 17, 18 inchers. So they're starting to move in a little bit more.
And there's some possible cobia to be had out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, not too bad.
Yeah.
Deep holes in the harbor?
Got nothing.
Okay. All right. Freshwater.
Bass. Bass fishing has been really good. A lot of guys buying shiners, and they're not buying a dozen at a time. They're buying two dozen on average, it seems like now. It's kind of strange, but 2 to 4 pounders seem to be the average size. One guy up there in Northport got a 6-pounder, and then of course down there in the Webb Lakes, they've been getting a few smaller fish in that 2 to 4 pound range. But it's definitely been a shiner bite. The plastics have slowed down this week. And then the couple guys are getting the worms and catching a few tilapia and a couple of oddball bluegill, but most of the guys are actually just catching tilapia and having a good time with them, and they make pretty good food.
Yeah. Alright. And, alright, let's see. Size, red dots.
Nothing.
Yellow dots.
Nothing.
White dots.
Nothing.
All right, give me just a second.
Definitely been the quietest week so far for tarpon. Unless you're down on Flamingo. Richie just stopped in a little bit ago to tell me pieces of a story. We were busy over there helping people with reels, but he got to give me a couple little snidbits. I'm going to call him tomorrow, my day off, and chat with him to hear the whole story. But
I was talking to him about it.
He walked in. He says, I said, how'd you do? Yeah, I heard you had a really good time. He said, how can I live there? And then turned around and walked away.
Yeah, how can I move there? But if he could move there, then anybody could move there, and it would really wreck it.
Yeah.
And that was a really good statement. It's like the 500 houses they're putting in south of South Gulf Cove, and I'm disgusted by it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't care about this guy building this big resort up here. I don't. It's in town. I mean, what's the difference?
It's on city sewer and city water.
You know. I mean, I just don't get why that's a thing, and nobody's complaining about these homes all being built out there.
Yeah.
It's 500 septic tanks, 500 everything, you know?
Yeah.
And just 500 houses going in a what should be a buffer zone preserve.
Right.
You know, I get it. Okay, you know, it's nice that people live there and, you know, happy somebody's going to get a beautiful home, but it won't be long before all that out there is just completely, completely changed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I shouldn't be such a downer. But
the sad part is that your grandchildren are not going to be able to see it the way we saw it. But the coolest part is we've gotten to experience some of the most spectacular moments ever because of what we have right now.
Oh, yeah. It's still awesome and amazing, and Charlotte County is still very, very cool to live in. And you know, there's a lot of things to be said about, you know, Charlotte County, and it's still pretty cool. We could use a different type of government officials, but you know, greed and corruption are pretty common throughout government, whether it's, you know, a government agency or a government. You know, it's all about, you know, not about quality of life, it's about quantity of tax dollars.
Yep.
So, anyway, but on a happier note, the fishing is good.
The customers are amazing.
Now, that has been the understatement of the decade. I have never had so many wonderful people come through the store. And we've got a great clientele anyway, but lately, oh my God, it's amazing. And we were talking about perfect scenarios. The people who come in to sell us stuff, all the factories and the distributors and everybody, how well everybody gets along and everybody's, you know, helping everybody else succeed. The customers are helping each other. I mean, this is literally living through a dream scenario right
now.
It
is.
You know, like I say, if I could figure out a way of making it pay a little better, this would be very cool. You know?
It would be.
But all in all, now, as much as I've ranted and complained about, you know, what FWC is doing with the snook, trout, and the redfish, the truth of it is, closing it for 1 year makes no damn difference whatsoever. Not even a little bit. Closing it for 2 years, yes, we will see an increase in snook. We will never see an increase in redfish. They don't frickin' live here. Trout don't really live here.
but not only that, redfish, closing it is not going to be the solution because there's other underlying issues there. Because for the last 10 years, we've seen a little slow but steady decline in the redfish.
We've seen them come up and we've seen them go down. I disagree with that, but go ahead.
Well, I see them go up and go down, but they seem to, like, go down, come back up a little bit, but not nearly as high, and then go back down a little bit and come back up, not nearly as high. It's just been a slow decline. Not a terrifying one, but just a slow decline in them. And there's a different underlying issue with that. It's not a red tide event. It's not multiple red tide events. There's other things going on there, and it's like, you know, the chitter chatter on Facebook is captains. You know, a lot of captains about how happy they are about it. Well,
yeah, but captains are idiots.
Well,
I know of 5 captains who have half a brain.
I know.
And
I probably know the same
95% of them out there aren't smart enough to tie their own shoes.
But
that's why they're captains.
Let's take this into the thing. It's like, okay, you're going to be happy about closing this, but let's go out and close the white bait during the close season and see how you like that.
I think that...
Try that. See.
Well, if you're going to say, okay, we've got to save these fish, let's save their food.
Right.
So, no cast nets in Charlotte Harbor.
Right.
End it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the captain should be fighting for, is saving their food. There should be no fishing for food shrimp. There should be no cast netting, commercial or recreational cast netting in Charlotte Harbor, and close that for a couple years. Let's see how the captains do then.
Right. And then let's also compare it to, let's see what the population of fish do in general.
You know, no commercial landing of mullet. We're going to start closing this up. Let's actually start doing a good job of it.
Right.
No cast nets at all in Charlotte Harbor. No commercial landing of mullet. You want to keep snook and redfish closed for a few years? Well, if you eliminate the cast nets, now they've got food again to eat.
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, just make that priority.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, let's frickin' do it here, you know? So, but, oh no, because they want to do this, what they want to do makes it okay for them to do.
Yeah.
But, I get, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
I'm with you.
I'm not going to sit here and rant through the rest of it. I'll try and be a happy, cheery fella. See how well that works out.
At least for a minute or two, right?
At least for a minute or two. But everything's going pretty good.
It is.
You know, it's nothing horrible at the moment of this second, of this minute, of this hour, of this day. Things are okay.
Here's something good that's pretty interesting, because news is always garbage, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
This morning I'm watching the news, and they actually had like about a 30, maybe even 40 second section on there talking about how amazing the fishing has been in Cape Coral and the Caloosahatchee River. Anglers are just having one of the best fishing times they've ever had. They interviewed two anglers out there talking about all the fish they're catching, and they said,
how is that possible? Red tide and blue green algae killed everything. There is no fish down there. That's literally impossible. They can't be doing that. Sarcasm at its best.
Right. But it was just, it was kind of neat to actually see a
good news coming off the news.
Yeah. Off of the local news, no less.
Even the local news. It's all, you know, racism and hate. And, you know, I was trying to watch Fox the other day, and because it used to be. I quit watching because they had too many people arguing on it, you know, bickering back and forth. I'm like, if I'm going to, you know, listen to somebody bicker, I'll go to a family reunion.
You know? Just turn on MTV Real World.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And I was trying to watch it there, and they're just, there's no news. It's just politics and stuff. I mean, you know, it's just sad. If you really want to find out what's going on in the world, you're literally down to finding obscure websites, you know. There's no more TV news.
No.
You know, I want to hear about how racist the world is. I'll watch CNN or MSNBC. If I want to hear people argue about, you know, who's the best political person, I'll watch Fox. But there is no more news channels.
Mm-hmm.
And the nightly news, local news, I wouldn't trust them if they told me it was daylight out.
Right.
You know. Local news is as bad as the national news now.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're out hunting for obscure websites to find stuff. You know, if you want fishing news, we'll tell you the truth. I promise that. You might not like my opinions. You might not like me. I get that. It's okay, because I'm not that likable. But I guarantee you, we're going to do the best we can to tell you the truth. But, boy, it's crazy.
It is.
Good news coming out of the news.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I figured they were going to put some kind of spin on it, so I watched the whole thing. Nope. It was pretty good.
Gosh. Maybe I better check out. Maybe the local news is getting better again.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was pleasantly surprised.
I'll watch a little bit of local news. I gave up on that because they were as biased. And, you know, I don't need to hear how you hate Trump or you love Trump. I want to know the frickin' news.
Right.
End of the story. Yeah. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, everybody, all the other, you know, the local stations, all about how they hate this and all the bad things happening.
Yeah.
Mix it up. You know? Yeah.
One bad thing, one good thing. Come on.
Yeah. We can do that. But anyway, I think we ought to get out of here.
Okay.
We'll get back to work. And thank you guys for putting up with us. Really appreciate that. And whatever political persuasion or race, religion, color, whatever you are, thanks for listening. You know, and we love y'all.
Not a bad thing at all. Yeah. I like it.
I mean, kind of the truth.
Totally the truth.
Unless you're some weird person, you know, I'm probably not going to be very fond of you. But, you know, excluding a few oddball weirdos, you know. You know, everybody else, come on in, have a good time. So, I guess you want to do your Henny Youngman bit.
Yep.
Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
All right, Vision Frank here. And we'll stop by, say hi. Bye-bye.